Now, we're going to go back in time. As the 200th anniversary of Charles Dickens' birth approaches, interest in Victorian Britain's most famous chronicler has never been higher. When Charles Dickens died in 1870, the Times of London successfully campaigned for his burial in Westminster Abbey, the final resting place of England's kings and heroes. But Dickens is not the hero we might believe him to be. Seen as the public champion of household harmony, Dickens tore his own life apart, betraying, deceiving and breaking with friends and family while he pursued an obsessive love affair. Renowned literary biographer Claire Tomlin gives full measure to Dickens' heroic stature, his huge virtues both as a writer and as a human being, while observing his failings in both respects with an unblinking eye in her new book, Charles Dickens, A Life. And Claire is with me now. Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice to be in Dublin, even though you've got this amazing weather.
It's been extraordinary the last 24 hours. So much has been written about Dickens already. Is there anything new to learn about Charles Dickens?
Well, I think there is. One of the points I make in my biography is the importance of his friendship with John Forster, who was another poor boy born in Newcastle, son of a butcher, and came down to London the way Dickens tried to began to make a literary career in London. And John Forster was there also making a literary career. And they sort of fell into each other's arms and became really, really good friends. And Forster became the greatest support advisor to Dickens. He was a family friend. He was godfather to their eldest daughter. And he read all Dickens's proofs. He acted as Dickens's agent. He reviewed Dickens's work. Mm-hmm. He gave Dickens crucial advice. It was Forster who suggested that Dickens should kill off Little Nell, for instance, yeah. Which caused great fun all around the world, everybody waiting anxiously. And it was Forster who suggested to Dickens that he should write David Copperfield in the first person. And that's probably, it was certainly Dickens's favourite book and many people's favourite book. So, and Dickens asked Forster to become his biographer when Dickens was still in his 30s. Shows what a confident man yeah. Dickens was. And Forster did indeed, after Dickens's death, write a very great three-volume biography of Dickens.
You've decided to make yours a shorter book. Rather than, tortuous in detail, but stimulating all the way, 400 pages rather than 1,000 or 1,500.
I did set out to make a short book, yes. It's very, very difficult because writing about Dickens is like writing five biographies in one. He had such extraordinary energy. On every day, every week, you can find he was doing 10 different things.
Segment 1. Now, we're going to go back in time. As the 200th anniversary of Charles Dickens' birth approaches, interest in Victorian Britain's most famous chronicler has never been higher. When Charles Dickens died in 1870, the Times of London successfully campaigned for his burial in Westminster Abbey, the final resting place of England's kings and heroes. But Dickens is not the hero we might believe him to be. Seen as the public champion of household harmony, Dickens tore his own life apart, betraying, deceiving and breaking with friends and family while he pursued an obsessive love affair. Renowned literary biographer Claire Tomlin gives full measure to Dickens' heroic stature, his huge virtues both as a writer and as a human being, while observing his failings in both respects with an unblinking eye in her new book, Charles Dickens, A Life. And Claire is with me now. Good morning.
Segment 2.
Good morning. Very nice to be in Dublin, even though you've got this amazing weather.
It's been extraordinary the last 24 hours. So much has been written about Dickens already. Is there anything new to learn about Charles Dickens?
Well, I think there is. One of the points I make in my biography is the importance of his friendship with John Forster, who was another poor boy born in Newcastle, son of a butcher, and came down to London the way Dickens tried to began to make a literary career in London. And John Forster was there also making a literary career. And they sort of fell into each other's arms and became really, really good friends. And Forster became the greatest support advisor to Dickens.
Segment 3.
He was a family friend. He was godfather to their eldest daughter. And he read all Dickens's proofs. He acted as Dickens's agent. He reviewed Dickens's work. Mm-hmm. He gave Dickens crucial advice. It was Forster who suggested that Dickens should kill off Little Nell, for instance, yeah. Which caused great fun all around the world, everybody waiting anxiously. And it was Forster who suggested to Dickens that he should write David Copperfield in the first person. And that's probably, it was certainly Dickens' favourite book and many people's favourite book.
Segment 4.
So, and Dickens asked Forster to become his biographer when Dickens was still in his 30s. Shows what a confident man Dickens was. And Forster did indeed, after Dickens' death, write a very great 3-volume biography of Dickens.
You've decided to make yours a shorter book, rather than, tortuous in detail, but stimulating all the way, 400 pages rather than 1,000 or 1,500.
I did set out to make a short book, yes. It's very, very difficult because writing about Dickens is like writing 5 biographies in one. He had such extraordinary energy. On every day, every week, you can find he was doing 10 different things.